When in chapter 6, or actually when the seal, when the Lamb takes and opens the seal, the first one, and then goes through the whole history, and the seventh seal is opened. From the prophet's perspective, all this has already taken place in the plan and counsels of God. And so now that book is open for anyone who will listen and hear it. It's given to the assembly, given to us that we might know what God's plans are. And so here we have the last seal is opened. So that is fixed. And therefore, also the judgment upon the ungodly is fixed. There's no change after those seven seals are opened up. So these things are all fixed in the plan and counsel of God. That's always such a wonderful thing for our hearts in relation to prophecy, that it is totally and completely fulfilling God's divine design and plan to bring Christ in as head over all things in the whole universe, over all things. He is the creator of all, chapter 4 of Revelation. It's always created for him, by him, and for him. Through, he was the instrument by whom it was done. And then we find also he's the redeemer of his creation. It's a new, brings in a new creation. And so now we have, this is so beautiful that we can say that now he testifies these things in the churches in verse 16. So here we are the ones who know these things. And this is what adds the urgency upon it, that we might say, well, what if we're ready with whenever the rapture takes place. But we know after the rapture, there's a 7-year period that's all described from chapter 4 to chapter 21. 7 years. All of those events are going to take place. And so he's seeing this all as a complete package. And for us now, have you got an overview of Revelation in this way? It's very, very rich and very precious to see in the midst of it all. Even then, always, God has a remnant. He's not left himself without a witness. And so we find, step by step, while these terrible judgments are happening, he still raises up a remnant in that day, during that time. And so here we see God's plan in all its perfection and completeness. And that plan will culminate in the great fact, in the end, new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness will dwell forever.
Just to go back, if you don't mind, just to go back to verse 11. But I'm also thinking of verse 12 and 13 as flowing out from verse 11. Would it not be true that in the matter of assessing things, what is righteous, what is filthy, what is unrighteous, what is holy and sanctified, that you have the true arbitrator here, the true assessor, the one who puts things in the perfect scale and weighs them accordingly. And because of his own personal integrity and his person as such, he then is able to reward accordingly. And he points out that he is the beginning and he's the end of all things. So it is beautiful to see that nothing escapes or will escape his eye. He rightly assesses things. He rightly dispenses accordingly in light of his person.
We could also make a connection with the verse in Hebrews chapter 11 where it says, he that comes to God, the one who comes to God, must believe two things about him. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's the message of faith. But what is it that is the right characteristic of that faith? What should that faith be about? It should be that God is. But also that God is a rewarder. Because if we believe that God is a rewarder, then we have the right, I'll say, the right image of who God is. Because it means that God is very attentive, just as we've heard. He is the perfect evaluator. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in fact, is the perfect evaluator. And if we don't believe that there's any day of evaluation coming, then we really have only a very weak kind of faith. Yeah, I believe there's a God. But if we don't believe this other aspect, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then it really doesn't put us on the path of service, the path of the conforming, being conformed to the image of Christ. What's the difference? Yeah, I believe there's a God. No, it's the God who's the rewarder, the God who knows, the God who sees, the God who is able to respond to what is done for him with a reward. And conversely, who knows what was not done for him. In 1 Corinthians 3, all the things that were not done for him are wood and hay and stubble. They'll be burned up. And as Bill said in the introduction, we'll be glad to see them go. We'll agree that those things were useless. But he knows. He is able to give a reward. And this gives us a sense of purpose. This gives us a sense of determination. We're serving one who knows. We're serving one who sees. We desire to honor him. And he is able to respond to what is done for him. This is not where it says to give to everyone according to his work. This is not the way all humanity is going to stand before him. And it'll say, okay, you and you and you, you did a pretty good job in your life, so you'll come in to heaven. And you and you, you were not so good, and so we're going to keep you out. This is for those who are his own, just to make that clear, right? These are all those who are believers. He will reward everyone. It says in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, that then everyone will have praise of God. He will find the seed, the kernel, the core of everything that was done for him, and he will reward it.